your home of so much infotainment and a little wordplay. Live from Studio A, this is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. We're live again.
We are so live again. We've got a docket. It's full.
A docket.
I've got a docket. I've got some things written down. I've got notes to a note. It's been a great week.
It's been an interesting week for you and I as Bucks fans and Timberwolves fans.
Yes, 100%. No, we predicted last Friday that by the time we hit the air that Giannis would get traded. Giannis Antetokounmpo of the formerly Milwaukee Bucks was in fact traded. The NBA draft was on Tuesday.
And Wednesday.
And Giannis was traded on Monday evening, Tuesday afternoon, something like that. Traded finally to the Miami Heat.
Yep.
Giannis Antetokounmpo will go down as the greatest Milwaukee Buck of all time.
Yep.
It's not even close. You would think a guy like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
But he wanted out of there.
Might. Yeah, that's the thing. Is Kareem, I was just about to say, Kareem, for being the greatest scorer in the history of the NBA, also did not want to be in Milwaukee after he won a championship with Oscar Robertson. And rightfully so, he wanted to live somewhere warm, wanted to live near where he went to school. So he wanted to go to the Lakers. Giannis was drafted as an 18, 19-year-old kid, like 13th, somewhere in the middle of that first round. I remember watching the draft, knew nothing about him.
Sure.
His highlights, I don't know, he looked like some skinny kid playing in second league in Greece. That's the thing, is he wasn't playing in a major team in Europe at the time. He wasn't in college at the time. He was playing in the second league in Greece. So to draft a guy like that in the first round, huge risk. 13 years ago,
paid off
almost immediately in the summer league. The highlights of him in the summer league, his first year, are just incredible to watch. It was like he was learning how to play basketball in real time. And by the end of his rookie year, he was getting some starting spots in a lineup that lost a ton of games. They didn't look great, but Giannis was starting to get there. And by his second year, you could tell there was whispers of, you know, this guy could be an MVP the way he plays. And yeah, he was never a great shooter, but he was great at absolutely everything else on the court.
Right.
The best. He's the Bucks leader in blocks, rebounds, steals. Might be in assists for points, field goal percentage, all-star appearance, all of it. Every statistic, he is the number one.
Walking down memory lane saying goodbye.
That's it. Yeah. I was actually clipping through on the YouTube looking at some of the highlights and the block against Ayton in the way he played against the Suns to win the championship.
Yeah, the Suns kind of lost that one too.
They did, but I mean, they won.
Yeah.
There was such a great time. That whole team, the excitement on his face, bringing his brothers into the team.
Considering what the Bucks got in return.
The Bucks got a very large haul from the Miami Heat. I'm glad that they picked a single partner in the Heat instead of one of those three-man trades where you get a guy that you have to trade to another guy to get some parts, because you're just at that point, you're getting pennies on the dollar over and over. No, they got from the Miami Heat. Do you have it listed up there? Would you please, just so I don't miss any of the details.
So Tyler Hero, guard from the Heat,
who is also from Milwaukee.
Yep.
He played at Milwaukee Whitnall High School, was an All-American at Kentucky, will be, if as long as he stays, your starting guard and your best all-star opportunity for the Bucks.
Kid.
Absolutely. I got to actually, his first game in the pros was against Milwaukee, at Milwaukee, and there was a huge cheering section with that had his high school jerseys and stuff like that. Yeah.
Let's see. Jaime Jaquez.
It's pronounced Jaime Jaquez. He is.
Of course it is.
He's a Mexican American player. Was second in the Sixth Man of the Year award last year. Okay. Will be your starting small forward.
Might as well, because you ain't got anybody else really, do you?
Absolutely, you do not. It's it's a unique thing because you are taking three players from a team that won 40 games, four players from a team that won 40 games, and putting him on a team that won 28 games, I'm not going to tell you how this season's going to turn out for the Bucks, but you're going to watch a lot of young players develop.
Khalil Ware?
Khalil Ware is a
center.
He is your Brook Lopez clone. He is a seven-footer with some range who blocks some shots. Super young, but that's what you're looking for when you're the Bucks.
And I have no idea how to pronounce Kasparis
Giakonis, give or take. I know he went to Illinois. Okay. I know he was a top 20 pick last year in the draft. He's a 6'5 guard with ball skills.
Good. So the other result, the other one received was Bucks got the first round this year or on Tuesday.
It was the 13th pick in the draft this year.
The 20-30 first round pick swap.
Okay. Which means, by the way, first round pick swap means if you were the, let's say the Heat finished with the 12th best record and the Bucks finished with the 30th best records, you would switch picks. Yep. So the Bucks would get the better pick that year.
2031 unprotected first round, a 2033 unprotected first round, 2033 second round pick.
And a lot of those in the far, far distant first round picks, those are lottery tickets. What you're looking at in, well, it'll be 6 years from now. You'd be looking at a Miami Heat team, in theory, with Giannis as a 36-year-old and Bam Adebayo as also a 36-year-old. You're looking at a team that maybe has traded Giannis already. You're kind of looking at a team where the Bucks are now with their first-round picks, where their first-round picks in the future are all going to Portland. So, yo, those are great. Those are great things to have. A lot of the top, like number one and top three picks in recent history, have been as a result of these trades.
Sure.
So those are
well, and also you lost, not only that, you know, only gave up Giannis, but you also gave him Bobby Portis.
You got Bobby Portis, who is a solid veteran. Where if you're the Miami Heat, Bobby Portis is going to be a super useful piece, either as your starting power forward or coming off the bench like he did for the Bucks. He'll be able to provide something for that team. What he would provide for the Bucks would be irrelevant because veteran leadership is useful, and you know, getting somebody who can hold the ship steady on the off times for your superstars is good, but Bucks don't have any superstars. You're going to see a lot of minutes out of a lot of young players. The Bucks next year, if I'm in my mind listening to their starting five talking, yes, I know. I said that too. That didn't make any sense. Nope, it did not.
Right.
But their starting five is incredibly young. Ryan Rollins is 23. This but Braxton Berrios.
It gives you what you guys needed to do.
Correct.
Rebuild.
It's a reset.
Yep.
Next year, you're not in control. The Bucks are not in control of their first round pick next year. So tanking isn't what they're doing. You are developing. And also Taylor Jenkins, their new coach, did this in Memphis. He was there for 5 years before they made the playoffs. You got to develop the culture. You got to identify talent, figure out roles before you start winning in the NBA.
Well, it's people are starting to follow. Remember when winning team or teams start to win like championships? Oklahoma did last year.
Sure, yeah.
And the way they did it was they started really young and just kind of added pieces as they needed.
Yes.
But they brought in people that fit with other people, not just because he's a James Harden or AD or anything like that.
In the last 5 years, the Bucks have spent what players around Giannis are going to make us successful. They brought in both of Giannis's brothers, who subsequently have been cut from the team. They brought in Bobby Portis to be the veteran backup to Giannis because you needed that because, honestly, Giannis hasn't played in more than 65 games in couple of years, few years.
Right.
You brought in guys like you brought back Chris Middleton as the veteran wing to go along with Giannis. You did those things to Brook Lopez. You were doing these things to support a veteran cast. Now, you're looking for your leaders. You're looking at guys like, Khalil Ware, a guy who was a fifth option for the Heat, a team that Heat developed culture. Like, Heat culture is a thing with Pat Riley as their general manager.
Right.
You develop a toughness. Eric Spoelstra, their coach. It's a way that we play. It's a culture thing. You're hoping to bring that to, and now instead of being the fifth option, you're now maybe the third option.
Sure.
Taking guys like well, like that Jaquez was the sixth man of the year. He's now going to be a starter. His numbers were good. He was a 15 points, 5 rebound, 5 assist guy. Kind of does a little bit of everything. He's still just 25 years old. He's going to get a lot of minutes. That's your leadership.
It's going to take a couple years.
It will. And Tyler Hero was an all-star. He was hurt last year, but he's a 25-point-a-game, one of the better scorers.
So who came up better in this draft, or in this deal, I should say?
I mean, the Heat. Anytime that you are able to acquire a top-flight talent, you got to pay that price. In the NFL, you got to get Myles Garrett, right? Like, you got to give up that extra first-round pick. You got to just do it. But once he's there, you figure it out around him. The Bucks, if you would have done this trade last year and maybe gotten... Well, because if they would have traded Giannis before the season, they had the opportunity to get a top-five pick, a top-three pick for themselves. They would have been a worse team record-wise, but you would have been developing these young players. Sooner. You would have been... Instead of getting a top 10 pick where you're getting a really good guard, you're getting a top 4 pick where you're getting a future Hall of Fame type of player on your roster.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the Bucks, as well as they did, their roster is now...
Okay.
It's young, and it's inexperienced, and but it's also a team that... Well, I can identify some guys to root for. This Nate Ament, last year, coming into Tennessee, he was the guy that they got in the Miami trade. Nate Ament was the number one rated high school player coming into college last year. Immensely talented, higher rated than AJ DeBanza and Daryl Peterson, who were both number one and number two pick in the draft this year. He was ranked higher than Caleb Boozer, who was the number three pick in the draft. So he didn't have a great freshman year, but he's got an incredible tool set.
Sure.
Brayden Berrios was the freshman of the year in the Pac-12, a great scorer and shooter. I don't know what that translates to the NBA, but it's at least for the last 5 years, they haven't developed anyone.
Sure.
The last first-round pick that actually has been playing minutes.
So let me ask you this now that your old coach is gone.
Sure he is. Yes, he is, dude.
Giannis is now on his way.
It's gone.
You know? And you're starting over. Do you have a fair amount of optimism now of kind of rebuilding this thing and having them be something?
No.
Okay.
No. Here's what I've also gone through as a Bucks fan. If anybody, I'm 40 and change, so I went through watching the Bucks be mediocre. Herb Kohl was the owner, former senator, was the owner of the Bucks for a number of years. He was really consistent about putting teams together that almost make the playoffs, are the eighth seed, win 37 games, and don't get that top flight pick. When they got Andrew Bogut and Jabari Parker in back-to-back years, that was the first time that they had not gotten that good of a team together, young players. So, no, I'm not real optimistic.
Not until like you're till those 2023 or 2030.
Well, when these guys who are 19 and 20 and 21 years old are 26 and 27, if they're still on the Bucks, maybe, and I get a little optimistic, but next year it's going to be...
Oh, yeah, next couple of years are going to be rough.
It's going to be rough because, like I said, you're not tanking because your first-round pick is going to, I think it's Portland, going somewhere else. You're not getting the benefits of being terrible on the court.
You're just going to be naturally terrible.
So you're going to win 24 games... And you're not going to get a top three pick. You're going to
win last year.
They were 38 games.
Oh.
They were, they missed the play-in by a couple of games. It felt really familiar to the Bucks teams that really, really struggled. So, I mean, I like on paper, like if this was a video game, I'd say, that's going to be a fun roster to play with. But at the end of the day, you need a real deal veteran guy. So maybe if Tyler Hero turns into a all-star for the Bucks. Yeah, I get a little bit of optimism there, but otherwise.
So the other the other one was potentially Boston.
Sure, yeah.
Getting Jaylen Brown.
Yep.
With a couple first round picks sooner. I mean, pretty recently.
Yeah.
Would you have rather taken that?
No. Because you gotta take Jaylen Brown didn't want to play for the Bucks even less than he wanted to play for the Celtics. He wants to play for a winning franchise, which I respect.
He wants to be the 1A.
And he wants to be the ace.
Yeah.
He would be that on a Bucks team, but they already had a guy. They had a guy in Giannis who was a forward, a guy
who, and do a lot of money.
And was making $60 million a year. Nope, you got the best trade offer you were going to get.
Sure.
You got young players. A lot of these young players, they got unscratched surface. Like, you don't really know what you got with some of these guys. So, nope, I will accept that, because you would have, if you had Jaylen Brown, eventually you have to trade him to somewhere else.
Yep.
Or deal with a really unhappy superstar, which you don't want at all. No, I'm great with this trade. It wraps it up, puts a bow on it.
Sure.
There was also a trade.
Several.
The NBA draft happened. So there was, as there is every year in the NBA draft, it's trade season. But specific to teams that you and I are into, Minnesota Timberwolves were they did a lot of work on draft night. They traded.
They're tired of coming in where they're coming in.
Correct.
In the playoffs.
They have shoved their chips as close to in the middle as they can.
Ant, no, we all know that Ant is something special.
Yes.
He just needs really good pieces around him. And, well, so what Minnesota did is they traded Julius Randle first.
Who was great, by the way. They traded a lot to get Julius Randle.
A lot of the reports are saying that he was kind of a cancer in the locker room.
Hmm.
And he didn't play that great in the playoff either.
That's fair. That's fair.
You know? So they dumped him, literally dumped Julius Randle and the 28th pick to the Brooklyn Nets.
For the 33rd pick in the draft.
And a guy that they're going to be waiving anyway.
Correct.
And then it was a three-way trade, three-team trade.
Mm-hmm.
The Chicago Bulls get Nick Clixon.
From the Nets. The Nets. They got a big man. No,
it was really a salary dump.
When in the NBA, sometimes you're making trades to make your team better. Other times you're making trades to make your salary cap better. Because this is all that was. Because on paper, Julius Randle's a 15-8 rebound, solid rebounder, veteran presence, left-handed shooter, can guard people, a physical presence on your team. On a team that's trying to make and win playoff series, you'd think you would want him around, whatever the cost is. But the Minnesota Timberwolves have one of the highest payrolls in the NBA.
Yep.
So instead of paying Julius Randle, they let him go to So he's playing for the Nets, making his money, making his 30.
Yep.
What it did, it opened up a $30 million trade exemption for Minnesota, so they can accept a player now.
Well, the few hours later, they signed Io.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a guy they picked up from, I believe, Chicago in a trade. And then they actually pulled off a huge blockbuster of a trade with the Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte Hornets last year were a surprise playoff team, or play-in team.
Yep.
Him and Con Knipple, LaMelo Ball was the starting guard. LaMelo Josh Ball Green came into the league with a huge aplomb. Like, his dad... his dad, LeVar Ball, made a huge name for himself and his sons. His brother was in the league before him, was the number three pick in the draft. LaMelo Ball came into the league as the number three pick in the draft the same year as Anthony Edwards.
Yep.
He came over from playing a year in Australia out of high school. He might be the best scoring guard in the league.
6'7".
A 6'6", 6'7", true point guard. Because as good as his numbers, remarkable. He's a 25-8.
Well, the remarkable part is it really only shone through this last season.
The reason that Charlotte was looking to trade high on LaMelo Ball, LaMelo Ball's 25 years old.
Yeah.
He's an all-star, putting up huge numbers for a team that was on the rise. Again, it's that... That's like, there's a sign, there's a hint in there that a team, that guy might not be, he might be a little damaged goods. They traded for LaMelo Ball. It makes their backcourt, the Anthony Edwards LaMelo Ball backcourt, is the best, might be the best backcourt in the NBA.
Well, to
might
see.
Be.
You're either going to get two versions, there's two versions of LaMelo.
Well, LaMelo Ball has also missed 30, 40, 50, and 60 games in his 4 and 5 years in the league. Yep. Missed a ton of time.
Yeah.
So it's a risk, but...
So Minnesota gave up...
You got to take this risk.
Oh, God. So he gave up Naz Reid, which I really like Naz Reid.
I like Naz Reid as a... I thought when they traded Julius Randle, naturally, Naz Reid would be your starting power forward, but...
They gave him a 2033 unprotected first round.
Yep.
three first round pick swaps, so 28, 29, and 30, just swapping, and then three second round picks, 29, 32, and 33, which isn't, I mean, really your all-stars are going to be in the first round anyway. So
correct. A lot of those second round picks, like there was a guy traded for 3 second round picks in the NBA draft. Yeah. You're using these second round picks
so
as
if you
currency.
So if you take away the second round picks and you just do pick swaps, really you gave him Naz Reid and a first round pick.
Yep.
In 2033.
And you got a guy in Josh Green who was also drafted in the first round in that same draft class, is a young player just like LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards.
I mean, we have Jaden McDaniels, which
Jaden McDaniels is now your starting power forward, which last year he was your starting small forward, and the best things he did was be able to guard guards. As a 6'8 guy, he was fast enough to be able to get out and guard perimeter players. Now you're asking him in a different role to guard power forwards like Julius Randle. You're asking him to guard much bigger players than he was used to guarding. Rudy Gobert is still there.
Yep.
For now. I mean, I've seen some spots where he's a trade bait guy and the Minnesota Timberwolves roster basically looks completely different than it did at the end of the year. You're starting that IO that they signed.
Yep.
He's your starting small forward, but he's a 6'4", 6'5 guard.
You also got Dante.
And Dante DiVincenzo coming off a torn somewhere in his knee, ACL, Achilles, somewhere his leg's all wonky. He'll be back next year.
So you got LaMelo, Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobert, Dante, and then IO as your starting lineup probably.
And honestly,
which is a really good.
As a starting lineup goes, that's a sneaky great.
But it just shows that they want to compete. They want to win it all.
Yes.
But you got to do stuff like that to beat Golden State.
It's the same thing.
Golden State. Oklahoma.
No, it's absolutely why a team like Miami makes that trade for Giannis, because they are looking at they're looking at the Knicks as your competition. They're not looking at making the playoffs as your competition.
I would love to see Giannis go to the Knicks.
I think that's why a team like Miami had to do it, because there was writing on the wall that he might go to some other team in that division.
Right.
So you got to pay him. You got to do whatever is asked to get him on that team. Trade season in the NBA is always kind of fascinating, because it's like I said, it's as much about improving your roster as it is about improving your financial outlook.
As we've started this show,
I've
now paid attention more to the NBA than I ever have in my life previously. Just so you know.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
You know, I can actually pronounce a couple names on my team.
You can. I've noticed an uptick in your awareness of the NBA. It's good. It's like I said, as my favorite sports go, the NBA is kind of a hard one, because college basketball is so much fun and so different of a sport than the NBA. The NBA is, I don't know, feels like the WWF a lot of time. Sometimes it feels like
Caitlin Clark, it does.
It does. It does. She got hit. She gets hit quite a bit. Yeah, man. I don't have it in my notes, but we'll have to talk about that at some point in here.
Hey, World Cup?
USA. USA. USA, dude.
There's some people out there not going, you know, the USA could win it all.
Those people are wrong, but I love some optimism, man.
That's great. Good job.
I've been following soccer since I was a wee little. I was a 6-year-old playing soccer in football cleats on a football field where parents were bringing out instructions on how to play soccer. So, like, I appreciate fully just how much we now have enthusiasm for soccer. But when you watch the U.S. in the World Cup, I watched a lot of the three games. They played last night against Turkey. They lost 3-2. It was an exciting game. The U.S. were basically playing their B team, because they automatically.
Okay, I was going to ask you that.
Yep. They were playing their subs. They were playing guys.
They were already guaranteed a spot.
Guaranteed a spot in the knockout round. All three of the host nations, the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, all qualified for the knockout 32-man World Cup next round. So this is just their opportunity against Turkey to get the young guys, get some guys some experience, some guys who will be asked to make plays against better teams in this, get them in, get some laps.
Sure.
But watching them play compared to the soccer I used to watch, the U.S. play, the U.S. has always had incredibly good athletes in soccer, because we've got great training facilities and we have this huge amount of people to choose from to play soccer. So we would always have these great athletes, but no real technical soccer skills, because we don't have generations of development on sure. how to look natural on a soccer field. You're starting now in the last generation of players, you're starting to see a lot of European influence, whether it's U.S. players born and raised in Europe, mm-hmm. getting European-style academy in them from the time they're 6 and 7 years old, to European coaches being over here in the States at a local level, at a club level, at a high school level, college level, watching them on the field. They have talent like Turkey. They have real talent. They are the through balls that they're doing and the vision that you're seeing from some of these U.S. players. It really makes me feel good because like I said, watching them struggle on an international stage, you wonder as a, you know, as an American, you kind of get this, why are we second in any of these sports? It doesn't matter if it's women's hockey. It doesn't matter if it's men's basketball. It doesn't matter if it's gymnastics or soccer or football. We've always been the best at all the sports.
Sure.
So we aren't the best at soccer, but our coaches, a top level, Marcio Pochinetta is the coach, and I butchered his name, but he's a world-class coach.
Nobody knows anyway, so.
People who watch soccer, and I bet amongst the WDRT listening community, I'm guessing there's a lot more soccer fans than the general community. So
probably.
I know that they watched. A lot of people out there, they watched, they saw. They have talent, man. They are going to be favored against Bosnia in the second round.
Yep.
That gets them to the round of 16. If you told me that that's as far as they got, I would accept that.
Yeah.
Like, I would say, like, okay, that's as good as they've ever done. But honestly, I would love to see them in a quarterfinal in a top eight matchup against a France, Germany. It's against the top players in the world, against the top squads in the world, to really see.
Bless you.
Thanks, buddy.
By the way, you only got 4 minutes left.
That was it, huh?
You want to talk about Brewers?
We certainly can. We could just talk soccer again for the next 4 minutes, too.
Up to you, man.
You're
driving the ship.
We will. No, you are. I see your hand on all of those controls. That is the driver of a ship over there, guy. Bang. Yeah, look at you. Captain's hat and everything. No, Brewers are so good. They are consistent. They are on pace. We're at the halfway point of the season, oh, by the way, for those keeping track at home. It's a long one. It's 162 games, but we have now reached the 81 to 82 games halfway through. The Brewers are leading the division, National League Central, by, four games at least.
Six and a half.
They are on pace to win 100 games, which is more than they won last year.
Yeah, look at that.
They're still not hitting home runs, but it still doesn't matter. They're second in the National League in runs scored.
Who do you think is the best team in the National right now?
It's either the Dodgers. It's the Dodgers. I know it's the Dodgers.
It is.
And that's why I will just be so happy with the Brewers.
Just by the win-loss, they're 52 wins.
And the Brewers have played the Dodgers. They've played the Braves. They're going to struggle in a series against the Dodgers, just like everyone will struggle in a series against the Dodgers.
Well, you get that kind of money.
And, you know, for that kind of money, you'd think that they would have a Jacob Mizorowski on their roster, but they sure as heck don't. That's where baseball is such a great sport.
I saw an article that the pitching staff is really, really, I mean,
like, yes.
I think, I don't even know which all three pitchers they were highlighting, but they're saying it's probably one of the better lineups.
If health stays, the Brewers 1-2-3 of Jacob Mizorowski, who is the front runner at this point for the Cy Young, Kyle Harrison, who might be, I don't know if he qualifies as a rookie, but he definitely is amongst the best pitchers in the National League. He's only lost two games.
Wow.
He's pitched really well, doesn't walk guys. He had one bad outing where they were playing out in Vegas, and then Brandon Woodruff. Brandon Woodruff came off the DL after 2 months of sitting, nursing whatever injuries you get as an old man. And
there's a lot of them.
That's what I'm saying. And he came back and pitched six innings of, he was perfect through 5 1/3. He has 6 innings, 10 strikeouts. That top three, that's a playoff winner. Like, that's where you get to the World Series.
Sure.
Their lineup looks I mean, on and on and on. They're Cooper.
So you're
Pratt,
optimistic. How far are they going to get this year?
They are going to make it to the National League Championship Series against the Dodgers.
When did they make it last year?
The NL Championship Series against the Dodgers. I mean, but this, I can't
but
say.
But having that 2 years in a row for you as a fan would be gotta be like
couldn't be. Can't beat that.
It's like the Vikings making the playoffs beyond.
It'd be like the Vikings making a Super Bowl, right? That's happened. Well, you're right. It'd be like the Vikings making
national
or something.
The NFC Championship.
Yes. No. It's a good time to be a Brewers fan. It really is. The young players they have on offense, the pitching prospects they have in the minors, the way their organization is put together. I want to hang out and eat breakfast with Pat Murphy.
Sure. One minute.
Oh man. Okay. Fine. On the flip side of that, the Mets fired their manager, David Stearns, former GM of the Brewers.
On the flip side of that, the Twins are not horrible, but they're not great.
They're not relevant. Yeah, no, we're not going to. Until they do something fun like fire a manager or trade Byron Buxton. Until they do one of those two things, we're probably not going to get that excited about them.
How are the White Sox?
The White Sox
are number one or top of the Central.
The American League is not as good as the National League, but that's a I don't know. I don't know any single White Sox player at all. I can name a couple of Mariners players, but I can't name a single White Sox player. They're 2 years removed from losing 130 games. So the NFL.
15.
Then we're not going to talk about any of that stuff.
No, we'll talk about that next
week.
We'll
do all of that next week. I bet we can do this live again. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. Thanks again. Bye.